Chapter 33. Mama Kay stood on a landing, overlooking the warehouse floor. Aegon's dogs, as they'd taken to calling themselves, were training under his watchful eye. The force had shrunk to 100 men, and Mama Kay was sure that by now its existence was well known. "Do you think they're ready?" she asked, as Aegon labored up the stairs on a cane.
"More training would make them better. Battle will make them better faster, but it will cost lives," he said.
"And your witch hunters?"
"They're no Imuri. Imuri can riddle a man with arrows from 100 paces while galloping away from him. The best I can hope for is 10 men who will get in range, stop, shoot, and move on before the fireballs get to them. My hunters aren't worthy of the bows they carry, but they're a damn sight better than anything else we have."
Mama Kay smiled. He was underplaying his men's capabilities. She'd seen those men shoot.
"What about your rent girls?"
Aegon asked.
"This mission will cost lives. Are they ready for that?"
He stood close beside her as they watched his men spar. "You would have been amazed if you could have seen their faces, Brandt. It was like I gave them their souls back. They'd been dying inside, and now they've come back to life, all at once."
"No word yet from Jarl?"
Aegon's voice was tense, and Mama Kay could tell that. For all that he had clashed with the young man, Aegon was worried for him. "There wouldn't be. Not yet." She put her hands on the rail and accidentally brushed his fingers. Brandt looked at her hand, and then in her eyes, and quickly away. She winced and pulled her hand away. Decades ago, Aegon had been arrogant, not obnoxious with it, but merely full of youthful confidence that he could do pretty much anything better than pretty much anyone else. That was gone now, replaced by a sober understanding of his own strengths and weaknesses. He was a man well-tempered by the years. Guinevere had known men ruined by their wives. Small women who felt so threatened they undercut their husbands for so many years that those men no longer trusted themselves. Such women had made Mama Kay wealthy. She knew men with perfectly good wives who were regulars, men addicted to the brothels as others were addicted to wine. But much of her business came from men desperate to be considered manly, strong, good lovers, noble. It was one of the many ironies of the business that they came to a brothel for that. Men, Mama Kay believed, were too simple to ever be truly safe from the temptations of a house of pleasure. It had been her business to make sure those temptations were multifaceted, and she'd been good at her business. Her establishments weren't just whorehouses. She had meeting rooms, smoking rooms, dignified parlors, lecturers on all topics men love. The food and drink were always finer than her competitors, and prices lower. At her best establishments, she brought in chefs and winemasters from all over Midcryu. As a restaurateur, she would have been a dismal failure. The food side of her business operated at a loss every year. But at her houses, men who came for the food stayed to spend their coin other ways. The few Brandt Aegons of the world didn't bang her girls for 2 reasons. They were happy at home, and they didn't walk through the doors in the first place. She was sure Aegon had been derided for that. Men who didn't frequent the houses of pleasure were always mocked by those who did. Brandt had conviction, integrity. He reminded her of Durzo. The thought sent a lance through her stomach. Durzo had been dead 3 months. Gods, how she missed him. She'd been helplessly in love with Durzo. Durzo was the only man in her life who would ever understand her. She'd been too terrified of that to let love grow. She'd been a coward. She'd starved their relationship of honesty, and like a plant potted in a shallow bowl, the relationship had been stunted. Durzo was the father of her child. He'd only found out a few days before he died. Mama Kay was 50 now, almost 51. The years had been kind to her, at least most days they seemed so. She usually looked 15 years younger than she was, well, at least 10. If she tried, she thought she still had what it would take to seduce Brandt. Once a whore, always a whore, huh, Gwyn? She used to despise old women who clung to their lost youth by their lacquered fingernails. Now she was one. Part of her wanted to seduce Brandt, just to prove to herself that she still could. But she didn't want to seduce Brandt. It had been years since she'd taken a man to her bed. For all the thousands of times it had been her work, there had been times she'd liked or admired her lover of the moment. And there had been Durzo. The night they conceived Uli, he'd been so blasted on mushrooms that he hadn't been much of a lover. But to have the man she loved share her bed had filled her to overflowing. She was so shot through with love and grief that she'd wept during their lovemaking. Even in his drugged state, Durzo had stopped and asked if he was hurting her. After that, it had taken all her skill to bring him to completion. Durzo had been a tender man when it came to taking his pleasure. Now their child was being raised by Kylar and Aline. It was the only deception she didn't regret. With those two, Uli would do well. But she was tired of deceit, tired of taking and never giving. She didn't want to seduce Brandt. She knew he wanted her, and his wife was probably dead. Probably. But he couldn't know. Wouldn't know. Ever. How long would a man like Brandt Aegon wait for the woman he loved? Forever. That's the kind of man he is. 30-some years ago, they'd met at a party. Her first ever at a noble's home. He'd fallen instantly in love with her, and she'd allowed him to court her, never telling him what she did, what she was. He'd been gallant, confident, determined to make his mark on the world, and so sweetly careful in his courting that he hadn't asked her for a kiss for a month. She'd indulged in the fantasy. He would marry her, take her away from all the horrors she wanted so desperately to leave behind. She hadn't had that many noble clients yet. It was possible, wasn't it? The night of their first kiss, a noble had referred to her as the sweetest harlot he'd ever had. Brandt overheard it, instantly challenged the man to a duel, and killed him. Guinevere had fled. The next day, Brandt had learned the truth. He enlisted and tried to get himself honorably killed fighting on the Seoran border. But Brandt Aegon had been too capable to die. Eventually, despite how he despised bootlicking and politicking, his merit had pulled him through the ranks. He married a plain woman from a merchant family. By all accounts, it was a happy marriage. "How long will it take to get everything ready?" she asked. She would hope Brandt's infatuation had died. She would help him dodge the truth. She was good at that, at least.
"Gwyn."
She turned and looked him in the eye, her mask in place, eyes cool. "Yes?" He blew out a great breath.
"I loved you for years, Gwyn. Even after..."
"My betrayal?"
"Your indiscretion. You were what, 16, 17? You deceived yourself first, and I think you suffered for it more than I did."
She snorted.
"Regardless," he said, "I bear you no ill will. You are a beautiful woman, Gwyn. More beautiful than my Liza ever was. You are so brilliant that I feel I have to sprint just to keep up with you jogging. I felt quite the opposite with Liza. You affect me profoundly."
"But," she said.
"Yes."
"But," he said.
"I love Liza, and she has loved me through 1,000 trials, and she deserves all that I have to give. Whether or not you have tender feelings for me while I have hope that my Liza lives, I would ask, beg, that you would help me remain true to her.
You've chosen a hard road, she said.
Not a road. A battle. Sometimes life is our battlefield. We must do what we know to do, not what we want to do.
Guinevere sighed and yet somehow felt lighter. Dodging Brant's attraction could have so easily turned into dodging his presence, and she needed to work closely with him now. Is honesty so easy? Could I have just said, Durzo, I love you, but I fear you'll destroy me?
Brant had just offered her his vulnerability, confessed her effect on him, and yet seemed not weaker but stronger for it. How was that? Is truth so powerful? She swore then, in her own heart, that she would not tempt this man for her own vanity, not in her voice, not in accidental touches, not in her dress. She would lay down every weapon in her arsenal. The resolution made her feel oddly decent.
Thank you, she said. She smiled companionably. How long till they're ready?
3 days, Brant said.
Then let us make the night run red.